Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome to this seventh episode of the Anti-Pattern Podcast.
Already, seventh episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, means 14 weeks.
14 weeks?
14
by
weeks
now.
In a row. Yeah, and welcome to this episode in a summerly Mannheim, I guess.
Oh, and summerly is a little bit of an exaggeration, to be honest.
It's pretty warm, and even spring. You looked in your closet and brought this, I would say, flowery rock skull shirt here.
True. So no long sleeves anymore, not with you, not with me. Mm-hmm. And this is actually a golf shirt. I'm not golfing, but this is a golf shirt. And funny enough, this was the first time I fall into a trap, and that is buying something that I did see on an Instagram reel. It's the first time that I fell into that trap.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, what are we talking about today? So today we want to have a look into where we stand. So we get a lot of questions and questions about where do we stand. And to be honest, we are existing now for 17 weeks and we are developing for only around 13 weeks.
Only from February on, yeah, true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but we have constant questions about where we stand, and so we thought maybe even more people are interested in the status.
Yeah, so this is going to be today's topic, and funny enough, so where do we stand in terms of developing our tool, right? Which is the funny thing, our tool does not have a name yet. And maybe you folks want to share some ideas about how can we name it, right? So we don't want to name it just EP platform or something, or that's too lazy, actually.
Boring.
It's boring and lazy, right? So we want to have something more fancy. And, maybe you guys put something in the comment section if you think there is a good name for us, and then we can discuss it. The idea is not to come out with that tool too soon, right? So we have a couple of weeks still time, but it would be nice to discuss a name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so where do we stand? If you remember our second and third episode, I guess it was, when we talked about how we think that our platform should look like, and we talked about multiple layers.
In the architecture, yeah.
The architecture, right. And basically we focused on three of them. So first, the modeling engine.
Right, yeah.
So below is still the database engine or the database layer, and this is something we won't develop by ourselves.
Of course not, yeah.
So we started basically at the bottom in the modeling engine. There, most of the development time went into, because it's the basis and this has to be a great piece of software.
Must be stable, must be accurate, right?
Because exactly.
Everything else will be built on it.
And, of course, must be performant and fast.
Right.
This is why we decided to use C++.
For the implementation, yeah.
For the implementation, not only because our developer really likes this language and he's really good in it.
True.
But, it's all about performance in this layer. And the second layer we put much effort in was the API, which is tightly connected with the core, with the modeling engine, and is also C++, so to say.
Yep.
And tightly connected means, and we will talk about this in a couple of minutes, that there is an automatism between modeling engine and API.
Right.
And the third.
And this is going to be a REST API for now, right?
Exactly.
So the basis is basically REST.
Yes, for now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the third layer is the front end. So it's always hard to convince people about your platform and the performance and everything if you can't show it to
True.
let's say C-level people. And this is why we
also... And end users, by the way.
And end users, correct.
It's not just backend, right? So you need to have a lovable, we called it lovable.
Yeah.
You called it lovable. We have to have a lovable UI. That's for sure.
Yeah. I saw a blog post or a post in LinkedIn of somebody else in the PLM community also talking about a lovable user interface now. So we also got a footprint.
Good.
Yeah, and for the front end, we chose Next.js. And this is because Next.js is in the React universe. And therefore, you have so many libraries and open source possibilities that you can reuse and don't have to rewrite by yourself. And this is a real advantage for us in the beginning. Don't want to say that we might change that somewhere in future, but at the moment it doesn't look like it.
Okay.
Because it really also feels good in development. Because all the JavaScript and these engines are very good documented.
Right. And what I actually learned from you, it's not JavaScript per se, right? That we are using that Next.js in, it's actually TypeScript.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Okay. That's true. That's a very good hint. We are using not the JavaScript version, but the TypeScript version, which is one of the major differences between a pure React and then these siblings. Let's name it siblings, like Next.js, that you can use TypeScript, and TypeScript is type safe. which is, instead of pure JavaScript, a big advantage in development. So you directly get the feedback in the development environment that something can't be right because it doesn't match this and that type.
Okay. I mean, and especially for us in combination with the modeling engine that we are currently developing, right? So it makes sense to have both, right? Because we have the type safety in the core, so to say, as well, right?
Yeah,
so it makes sense to
our data model is also a kind of typing. Yes,
right.
Exactly. And so we need it in the core. So C++ is also type safe.
Yep. Yep.
We need it in the core. We need it in the data model later on. And why not having it also in the front end?
Right.
So it goes hand in hand and
Makes sense. And you mentioned the modeling engine, right? So this is the first of the three things that we are currently developing from the overall platform. I guess the overall platform had like seven layers or something in total, right? So three of them we're currently touching and you know, preparing and developing. So the modeling engine, why is there the modeling engine? And this goes back to our first order principle, which is flexibility, right? We believe that it's actually a fairy tale that has been told so many years that you just, you know, get standard software out of the shelf, install it by your business process, right? As I said, and then everything works. And especially in PLM, but, you know, in other areas as well, right? Flexibility is needed. And if you don't have it built in your platform, you end up programming a lot of custom code, right? And this is what we don't want, right? I usually say there's this two extremes. The one thing is everything standard, just buy it and use it, right? And not modify it. Never happens, by the way, right? You always have to do something, right? And then on the other hand, you have that, you know, toolbox where you basically just get it, you know, different components together and you build something on from scratch for your own, right? Both things we don't want to do. We want to find the very narrow middle ground between the two, and that is configurable software, configurable platform, right? That allows you to configure data model and process model without or with few coding, right? With only a little coding. This is the low code part of it, right? So this is what we are aiming for. And in contrast to the big monolith, right? Where usually if you want to modify something in the core and in the UI and in the API, you have to do it manually each time and you have to touch every single component. And this is what we don't want to have. We have the automism, right? So it's automatically happening if I add an, oh, spoiler, but you come to that in a second. If I add an entity, right, to one of the data models that I want to describe, then it will appear in the API automatically, directly, and it will show up in the UI in a standard way. You can modify it later, right? But it will already appear in the UI with the most necessary properties that it has and so on. So there is an automism between modeling engine, new data models, API, and UI, right? And that goes always together. There's no need to touch every single component manually each time you modify something. This is something that we don't want to see. And basically speaking, we are not standardizing data models or the data model. What we are standardizing is the way data models are described, aka we standardize the meta model.
Yeah, exactly. And you already teasered it. No problem. So you talked about the entity. So in the end, everything is an entity.
Right.
But the meta model itself, the highest abstraction layer is the entity type on the one hand, right, the relationship type, and the property type. Right. So in short, ERP.
And that's funny enough, by the way, that it ends up to be ERP.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we are doing ERP, obviously.
Oh, hopefully not.
Yeah, and with this meta model, you can model everything else. So right, at least everything that could be expressed in a graph,
right,
which is also very fruitful for us.
Right.
So entity relationship and entities and relationships can have properties.
Right.
That's it. It's that easy.
Yeah, it's the easiest meta model that we could think of. Right. We don't want it, you know, to overcomplicate things. But from these three granular things, you can build up basically everything. Some people would say you can describe the world with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's really true, but you know, this is how we think about it. And the question is then not what do I model, what kind of data models do I build, but who is building those data models?
Mm-hmm.
And there's not just one answer to that question, right? We can deliver standardized data models from our point of view, right? We call that then standard applications, right? On the application layer that we did not touch yet, but that will be added later, right? This is then coming from us, so to say, from what we learn from the customers, and we condense it into a standardized app. But it can also come from partners, right? So partners of us can use the platform to build their own applications that, you know, can be downloaded. Can be activated in the cloud platform and then used, right? So it's also the possibility to collaborate with partners here. And the third option is some system integrator or the customer himself, the admin of the customer, can use the platform to then model their own applications and even combine the three, and that means can modify existing standard applications, right? And all of that is, from our point of view, then guaranteed that we still are able to upgrade things, right?
Mm-hmm.
We version also, as we already talked about it, we also version the data models in the background, so we know on which, you know, baseline a customer is in terms of standard, in terms of custom. We can separate custom developments from standard developments,
mm-hmm,
right? And therefore, the whole upgrade process is basically automatically happening in the background.
Yep.
Yeah. And this is what we believe in. Yeah. And so this covers basically the discussion about the modeling engine, why we need it, right? This is crucial. The second thing you mentioned was API. For now, REST API implemented also C++ close to the modeling engine, but there's more to come, right? There's more.
Yeah,
than
absolutely.
Need.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, for now we have this REST API in JSON notation,
right?
What you can expect from the endpoints. But of course there is more in the API. So what will be a very important thing for us is documenting the API, at least in an open API document, which is easily digestible by humans in certain editors, but also by other systems,
right,
who might want to implement the API, mm-hmm, or work against the API. And but REST will not be the end.
Mm-hmm.
What we are thinking about is having also GraphQL endpoints, is absolutely, fits perfectly in our idea to establish a industrial graph, a knowledge graph.
Mm-hmm.
So querying this graph not by having a REST ping pong, mm-hmm, yeah, querying something, getting some information, querying the next thing, getting some information, right. Interpreting, querying the next information. So the idea is, if you know something about the knowledge graph, you are another system, maybe even the front end.
Right.
You know the endpoints, you know the data model behind, and you want to have a complex query. Let's say you're querying a product and you want to have its MBOM, and in the MBOM, in the third level, something, I don't know, make your own example. But just going through these stations, which I described, would be several REST calls, single REST calls.
Right.
And you can do that by one GraphQL query,
right.
If you want.
And that's, you know, fitting nicely with the, you know, fact that we are using a graph database in the background, right? So it comes native, it comes natural, mm-hmm. that those two things go together. Right. And but you also mentioned front end, right? Mm-hmm. And that is so we can use GraphQL also to, you know, get something out of the back end and bring it to the front end, right?
Front end itself feels very fast for the user.
Yeah. So that's also, you know, also a point for performance here. But this was the third thing that you mentioned. We're currently already working on the front end, right? The two of us and also our developer, our chief architect. We are not per se UI experts, right? Mm-hmm. This is you know, some fair warning if you see it in a couple of weeks. We're not UI experts, but we want, of course, to have already from the start a front end that you can show the use cases on, right? Because mm-hmm. even myself, right, the two of you maybe not so much, but myself, I need a front end to really understand what's happening with the system. I have a hard time looking at, you know, the console or into some JSON files and that, all that. We do that in the development meetings and I hate it, right? I want to see something real, right? Something that the user would be seeing in the end. So we need a front end right from the beginning. And we said three things are important for us when we look into what other PLM systems in the past have been doing, right? And what was missing basically in most of them.
Because we know how the internet works.
Yeah, we know how the internet works, right?
We want to have a modern web application.
Right. A modern web application, right? And this is what you don't see so much in you know, old school monolithic PLM tools. And so we came up with three things that are most important for us in the context of PLM for our UI. And that is, we want to have a sidebar and not just tiles, right? Talked about it already, right? There are a couple of solutions out there that already have a sidebar. So it's not true for all that they don't have it, right? But we want to have a sidebar. That's really important because it makes navigation easier. You can jump directly to, you know, where you want to go. Second thing is, drag and drop wherever possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's important for the intuition, right? With the system, it makes things easier, right? We have drag and drop everywhere. We usually don't have it in PLM, right?
Depends on the systems, but yeah.
In the most legacy systems, there is no drag and drop, right? This is the second thing that we came up with. And then we want to be, and this is new, we want to be the first PLM system.
Careful. We are not a PLM system.
True, we are not a PLM system. We want to be the first digital thread system without a save button.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no save button in our platform. That's the idea. Everything happens automatically. You know, you go in there, you change something, some value on a property, right? And it will create in the end a commit, right? And it mm-hmm. will save what you changed. And you'll see the whole history. You don't have to hit any save button anymore.
No.
This is what we want to achieve.
I think we can talk a whole episode about, or we will talk in a whole episode about this mechanism.
Right. Yeah, so that's important for us. No save button. And then this is what the current status is, right? So we are touching those three things. We made a lot of progress in the modeling engine. For the API, there's still some work to be done, right? And we have to finish the benchmark, right? This mm-hmm. is something, the benchmark of the databases. But what else? What's happening next?
Basically, in the next weeks, we have three tasks to do. So the one is we have to finish the benchmarks about the databases so that we don't have only a Postgres, which is very comfortable for development purposes.
But, right.
We want to test out more, especially the graph databases.
Right.
The other thing is that we are from this week on, we are that far that we can start thinking about the application and the service layer, that we can build up a first application, domain-specific application on top of the meta model and the core. Mm-hmm. And of course, more functionality on the API layer. I already mentioned it for comfort reason. We would like to have some more specialized API endpoints. I would like to see the GraphQL endpoint as soon as possible, but can't promise that for the next weeks. And our major goal is to be demo ready after summer.
After the summer. So we said September, October timeframe, right? Mm-hmm. And we started planning our releases in a quarterly manner, right? So what we want to do beginning next year, I think, is having quarterly releases of all the enhancements. And after the summer, we should be demo ready, which also means we can start POCs, right? Mm-hmm. So customers out there, give us a ring, right? After the summer, we feel comfortable from what we know today, to start showing you our solution, also using your data to run through use cases, right, and show you the benefits of having a very high-performant modeling engine, graph database, in the background for your product data, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this is what we can start after the summer.
Yeah.
Right, and maybe as a summary from what we have been discussing, right, so we, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about our four first order principles, right? What is driving the development of our tool? First, we had the fast part, right? We want to be fast. And this is something we do. This is the reason why we do C++ or we use C++ in the modeling engine, why we use a graph database, why our REST API is also implemented in C++, makes things easy and fast, right? Mm-hmm. This is the fastness, so to say. The other thing is we want to be open, and you already hear that there is a REST API that we use internally, right? So when microservices communicate with each other, that's all going via REST and JSON, right? This is something that we need for the openness. There is more to come, right? GraphQL was mentioned, and other things as well, right? With the API documentation in Swagger, Open API now, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is you know, something we do for the openness, flexibility, right? The main reason why we have the modeling engine is we want to be flexible. As I said, we don't standardize data models. We standardize the meta model, the way something is described, right? And leave it up to the customer to really come up with the data model that he needs, right? And needs for driving his business process. And then last but not least, the smartness, right? We did not start implementing any AI agent yet, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about AI for, you know, at least 1 or 2 minutes in one of the episodes, right? This is upcoming, but what we are currently doing is we build the prerequisite from our view, which is the knowledge graph, or how we call it, the industrial graph, to really make sense of the data to then have an AI agent consume it, right? So in other words, we already are starting building the prerequisites that we need to then make use of AI in an industrial context, mm-hmm. right? So hope that serves as a little summary here. And
yeah, with that, I would say we are coming to an end for today. Good. Give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, whatever your platform offers to you. Leave us a comment. Give us a call if you're interested in a POC or anything else. Right. And with that, I would say goodbye. See you next time.
Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.